Panthers Pulse, an inside look at the Carolina Panthers and the National Football League, exclusively at Panthers.com.
It's radio, it's television, and it's on the web. We call it Panthers Pulse. It's Mike Kraft from Panthers.com, along with Brian Strickland, senior writer from Panthers.com. Dan LaTaraca, you're in chair number two today. That's because Max Henson is out on assignment. We'll have some stories later on Panthers.com. Big charity event, feeding the homeless men over at the shelter.
Yep.
I believe Panther rookies are there today. And that is always, I regret not being there, but duty calls here in the studio, because that is always, always when you look at what is really important during this holiday season. And speaking of that, looking ahead for the Panthers, I mean, really, at this point, Brian, that's all we can do is focus ahead. When you look at a 2-8 record, what can this team accomplish tomorrow when they come back to work and start getting ready for that big game on Monday night against the Philadelphia Eagles?
I mean, there's still a lot to be accomplished. Obviously, you know, we were talking about this before. The Falcons are running away with the division. But beyond that, this team still has some goals. I mean, win out. I know that may seem ambitious, a 500 record, still a chance to improve from last year's record. And keep in mind, this team was 2-8 this time last year and won four of its final six to build some momentum that unfortunately didn't carry over like we had hoped. But, you know, I mean, I've never seen anything in this team that would suggest that they're not going to give their full effort come Monday night, regardless of the record, regardless of the situation.
Well, when you watch the way the game ended, obviously was a lot of heartbreak in that locker room. We were both down there doing interviews in the locker room. And when you talk to guys, a lot of emotion. Probably some of the veterans more emotional than I've ever seen in a post-game locker room, and rightly so. I mean, that was a gut-wrenching loss. And while we're not going to beat that, you know, just stick on that and talk about that today, one of the things you have to look at is, well, now that you've been knocked down to a man, I think all the guys I talked to, the first thing they talked about was being able to get right back up and fight again. And there's obvious, when you're losing close games, it's obvious that you're not a bad football team.
Right.
There have been seasons in the past here, other teams, that you look, and after a while you go, this is a bad football team. We don't have a chance of winning. But I can say in only two games, everybody knows this team has had a chance to win. And really, that's all you have to – that's all you want.
Right.
Well, and is a chance to win football games.
Speaks volumes of the types of guys we have in the team right now that, you know, they've had a lot of heartbreaking losses this year, and they get right back up and they fight hard every next game. And it's the hard times that define you and make you the player you're going to be. And this is something that, you know, it's part of being a football player is getting knocked down. And that's part of the deal. But
that's part of life, too. Mm. And as we look forward, as we said we will do, Monday night, can the Panthers use this extra time? I know it's a holiday week. How's the schedule going to look? Just give fans a little insight on how the schedule is going to look going through Thanksgiving and getting ready for a game a day later than normal.
Yeah, I mean, always with a Monday game, you're going to pick up a little extra time. Obviously, you're going to pick up a day. It is a little different, though, with the Thanksgiving holiday. I mean, again, you were talking about what's important. You know, family certainly plays into the holiday, the Thanksgiving holiday, but the team will have about a half a day on Thursday, and that's an extra half day that they wouldn't have if it was we'd have a half a day less if it were a Sunday game. So no doubt they'll take advantage of that. They'll take that seriously, and then, you know, they'll just move back the schedule a day. It'll be the same travel deal, but in effect you'll gain a half day of preparation, which certainly any coach would welcome that.
Well, if you are in this business, you know that this time of year there is a chance you're working on a holiday. And I think everyone knows that. Family members know that. So you just kind of move things around and celebrate. I know birthdays in my household. My second son, Matthew, is celebrating his 16th today.
Yeah.
But that celebration may have to hold until the weekend because of the way things go in this business. Well, as always, we generate questions and material to talk about on this show from our social networks on Facebook, Twitter, et al. And Dan, you keep your finger on the pulse of all things social. Had to get that in.
Thanks, Mike.
What you got, man? What's going on?
From Thomas Little on Facebook. My question is, with all the talent the Panthers have, and we have a lot, why are we still struggling to make plays work? I'm not seeing the kind of execution that should be in the NFL.
Well, that's obvious. I mean, if you're 2-8, it's obvious the execution is not where it should be. I mean, we're not giving out any house secrets here. Everybody right. knows that. You can see it. You see it down the stretch of ball games. Mm-hmm. But as you look at that, Brian, it's a head scratcher for everybody.
Yeah, it's a $1 million question. I mean, you know, Coach Rivera yesterday in his press conference said, you know, one, we are still a good team, and that's why you see the emotion you were talking about after a loss like that. If we were losing by 20, it'd be let's go home. We don't have what it takes this year, but this team has what it takes to compete. If you could answer that question, the record would be 8-2 instead of 2-8, though. And the coaching staff honestly still struggles to put their finger on what exactly is missing, because I do think the talent is there. Look what this offense did last year, and all the discussion in the offseason was the offense will pick up where it left off, and you can't make – that's not a safe assumption, but that's the assumption we tried to make. And then if the defense can improve, which it has, this is a playoff contender. Mm-hmm. And we see what has happened, and it is just so hard to define sometimes – what's not quite clicking, and it drives coaches mad.
Well, it drives a lot of people mad. I think this question touches on one thing, not necessarily in talking about making plays and all that, but when Thomas talks about favorably that this team has a lot of talent and speaks to the positive, that goes to show you that our you still have a strong core of fans as well. Now, you can't fault fans for being disappointed. Everybody in this building is disappointed right. at what's taking place on the field, but you also will find a core of fans. And you know, one thing you say as a team and as an organization, you find out who your friends are when things are tough. Mm-hmm. And we will, through this, find out a lot of people will drop off. You know, that bandwagon gets pretty light.
Right.
But when you see questions like this from Thomas, it shows that there's a core of fans who are going to hang in there through the tough times.
Yeah.
And I tell you, the good thing, advice would be, yeah, because you know this team is talented, there will be some better days on the other side. So mm-hmm. you might not want to jump off. You might want to hang in there.
I agree. Yeah.
And, I've said this before. It's just like when you're teaching kids to walk. And it may not happen in your time. And you watch them, and they stumble along, they bump their heads on the cabinet. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you don't take them back to the hospital and get a note. Hey, give me one that works.
You can't do that, huh?
Yeah, you can't do that. Okay, you got to get them through that phase. You got to get them through that toddler phase, and then when they're running, hey, you love them when they can, and you love them when they can't.
It's like getting a divorce after every fight with your wife or something like that. You know, you got to stick with your team through thick and thin or leave your fan card at the door.
Okay, you don't divorce. Right,
you don't. No. I'm not advocating that whatsoever.
Trust me, as a 22-year veteran, I know. You got to hang in there.
Exactly.
Through thick and thin.
Absolutely.
But anyway, let's go to some more questions.
Yeah, absolutely. We got Josh Howard asked, when will Jeremy Bridges be ready to start at right guard?
Well, I mean, he comes back. He was already – he was waived injured, so he wasn't playing.
Right.
And so there is two things at work. One is a learning curve because he was here before, but this is not the same offense, not the same terminology. And the other thing is he got to get up to speed physically. And right. I talked to him after the first practice, and he said, I got to get my legs under me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there is a time, I'm sure. Because of what he offers and in his play, but also in his attitude that he brings to the game. And I'm sure this is one of the reasons they brought him back. Yeah. Because when you look at things that are taking place on the offensive line, okay, there needs to be a little edge to that offensive line. And he is the type of guy that comes in and hey, he's on edge. I mean, he's going to take everything he said up to the echo of the whistle,
right.
as he told me. I mean, he's going to play tough. And he's going to be kind of a guy that can, you know, be that lightning rod. I mean, with the loss of Ryan Khalil, I mean, Khalil was the unquestionable hub mm-hmm. of this offensive line. And to lose that guy at that position
right.
is really tough to come back from.
Oh, yeah.
And not that Bridges is going to bring, you know, he's not going to be an all-pro center. He's a different position.
Right. Right.
But he will bring some of that swagger back to this offensive
line. Yeah, and you can't replace Orion Khalil, but I do think Jeff Hangardner has done a good job doing that. But obviously, he can't play two positions, so he had to move over. And the right guard has been a work in progress. We've seen Jeff Byers get his chance, and he started last game. But after a few possessions, it should be noted that they put Gary Williams out there and gave him a look. And I got a chance to talk to Rob Chudzinski a little bit yesterday about that situation. And the timetable is to be determined, I would say. But Jeremy looked a little bit better every day, a little bit more in shape every day last week. And obviously he's learning more about the offense every day. Coach Chudzinski said, hey, it's definitely a consideration. He loves the guy's attitude, his work ethic, his little edge that he brings, as you know well, Mike. And I'm looking forward to seeing that. But it'll just be where he is by the end of the week. And I think if he's physically ready and if he knows the offense, I mean, you brought him in to give him a look, I think.
Well, that's one of those stories that we will be looking into tomorrow when the team gets back on the field for practice. And you can follow that here on Panthers.com. Let's keep going with questions.
Yeah, we have Kevin Davis asking, when will we see the Panthers' black pants again? That was the big deal for fans. They always wanted to see uniforms of black pants. And we spoke with Jackie Miles, the equipment manager, and he said the initial plan was always to wear them in the two final home games in December. So while we're not sure what the plan is going to be, that was an initial plan at one point, so you could see him. But we really don't know.
Well, all I can tell him is I always wear black pants on game day.
There you go.
I wear all black. Y'all know that.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
I'm a Johnny Cash fan.
Like a ninja.
The man in black.
Hey.
I am. Seriously.
No. Yeah,
absolutely. I have varied taste in music.
Right. And I don't know what to say.
In clothing. But I like black. Black on game day. I mean, here again, we're talking about that edge.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Something real tough
I agree.
About wearing black.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You will not see it the next two games, I can tell you that, because they're road games.
Yes,
so we already know the plan there.
Yeah. But you like them, Brian?
I do, yeah. I mean, I did like the look. Well, I mean, I like the black jerseys as it was. I mean, even on the practice field, I like the black jerseys. It seems fitting this time of year, too, for some reason. I like the pants.
I like the blue socks.
Dan, did it seem to you like most fans did embrace
that?
Yeah,
fans liked it. I mean, I'm personally partial to the silver pants, but the fans absolutely, they loved the black pants. It was exciting, it was new, it's different, and it's something we might see more in the future, but we don't have
the players
an official
liked
answer
them.
For you.
You know, the players definitely liked them.
Yeah, Charles Johnson was all about that.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, another question came in from Sam Carter. With the season winding down and the chance for playoffs kind of winding down as well, will the coaching staff give younger players and practice squad guys a chance to get some experience?
Well, there's a lot of decisions that have to be made. Yeah. So that's a fact of life. As a team has, I mean, there is still a mathematical chance,
right?
Mm-hmm. To
we
make
talking
the playoffs.
About that.
So
yeah.
it's not done. It's not a done deal. Hang in there, okay? But as the team gets further and further away from contention, now the focus has to be on next season.
Right.
And there are a lot of decisions that have to be made on a lot of different players. So don't be surprised if you see some guys that haven't gotten looks get looks, because, I mean, the only way to judge a guy is to put him on film.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There was one of our former personnel guys that used to say a player's DNA is what he puts on film. And if he hasn't played and you don't have any film, how can you make a judgment on it? I mean, it's kind of hard to go back and pull out some preseason games and watch them against whatever competition they're against in the preseason. But that, I'm sure that's something that in the next couple of weeks, if the team doesn't catch fire and start putting together some wins, then you're going to see that.
Right.
And that's not a bad thing.
No. And we saw Joe Adams, for example, on Sunday. That would be an example. I will say one thing with the NFL to keep in mind is it's not like college where you can just say, all right, we want to see this guy, we're going to put him in the game. I mean, there are decisions to be made. Look at the wide receiver situation Sunday. I'm sure we want to see more from David Geddes coming back from the injury, but we cannot have all six of our wide receivers active on game day. Just with the way the NFL set up, I mean, you've only got 46 guys on game day. So, you know, we got a chance to see Joe, but it was at the expense of David Geddes. And if you want to see a Jared Green, for example, in the practice squad, you have to cut someone from the from the active roster to do that. So you do want to get a look, and you can find ways to do it, but you're somewhat limited at the same time.
Understood. Yeah, but they yeah, I know. In order to see the guys down the roster, some tough decisions have to be made. Mm-hmm. Well, looking forward to Monday night against the Philadelphia Eagles. They are struggling, I would say, as equal. They got blasted by the Washington Redskins, so and it'll be a good opportunity to go in there and compete, and we know this team will. From talking to guys, are they excited about being on Monday night?
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, there's still something special about being on Monday night, I think. And, you know, all eyes are on you. You know that the whole league is watching, having already put their games behind them. Kind of become the deal with Thursday night somewhat, too. And obviously, that did not go well when we had our Thursday night opportunity early in the season against the Giants. So here's another chance to show everyone what you can do. And, you know, the Eagles are in a similar situation. You know, Andy Reid and Ron Rivera are good friends, and, you know, they'll be competing hard against each other, not really knowing what the future holds.
You know, Brian, I know a knock on the Panthers early last year was that they kind of struggled on the road a lot. Mm-hmm. And if you've seen them this year, they've played really, really well on the road.
In every game.
The road win is that much sweeter, and especially in a place like Philadelphia, you know, on Monday night. I mean, it would be a great thing.
Definitely. Well, we will be on the road with the Panthers, and then we will be back here next Tuesday, as always. We appreciate you taking time. Berkeley, stop texting over and start playing some music. He hates when I call him out like that. But as always, we promise to stop talking before you stop listening. Were you texting or Facebooking, Berkeley? He was talking to us through Facebook, probably.
Question.
All right. Berkeley Dickens, our engineer extraordinaire. He's awesome.
Thanks,
guy.
Berkeley. We'll get to it next week.
We will see you right here, same place, same time next week on the Panthers Pulse.